today I want to talk about what is like the practice of mindfulness in daily life. What is that like? How do we practice in daily life? And I want to start us off with a quote by one of my teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya. And he is also the author of the book that we're reading on Friday right now. He says, and this is actually from that book, he says, "A meditation center is just a place for learning, a kind of training camp or mindfulness workshop. Keep practicing in daily life. Do not think it is difficult. Just try again and again. Developing awareness is a lifelong journey. There is no need to hurry or worry. It is important to learn how to practice correctly so that you can effectively apply whatever you have learned in everyday life. When you're able to apply what you have learned in any life situation, your awareness is superior to the kind of awareness that you develop by just walking up and down the meditation hall." End quote. So he's actually saying, like, our awareness, if we can practice that in daily life, it's superior from the awareness that we practice when we're here together in the group. And when I practiced with him in Asia, he's an Asian monk. I met this nun, and this nun said that Sayadaw didn't let her ordain until she had an established kind of daily life practice. So she had to basically start a business and be in daily life and be very active in daily life and every once in a while come to the monastery for some teachings, but then live her daily life, and she had to report on how it's going in daily life. And only after some years of doing that was she allowed to ordain, even though she had this real deep wish to ordain earlier. So that's how strong he holds that. And he's also practiced a lot himself in daily life. He was this, how do you call that in English, like this guy in the marketplace, this market salesman, or I don't know, a vendor? Yeah. he was practicing the teachings while he was doing his job as a vendor, being mindful of all the people coming by, being mindful of just sitting there waiting for clients, being mindful of his depression that he had. He had a lot of issues with depression and stuff. So it's really inspiring to read about that. One of the books that he wrote about it is called When Awareness Becomes Natural. That's kind of about his life and how he applied the practice in his daily life. And so often we think of meditation as sitting on a cushion, like we've been doing tonight, or doing walking meditation. We could expand that to any place. We've tried in the walking meditation today. We don't have to confine ourselves to our meditation cushion for our practice. Because what we're actually doing when we're sitting here on our cushion, or a bench or chair, maybe some people at home are sitting on bench or chair today. What we're actually doing is just being aware, right? We're just being aware of whatever arises in our experience. And we can bring that awareness to any situation. So whether we are getting up in the morning from our beds, so we wake up and we maybe can feel our head on the pillow, or we notice the alarm going off, or we put our feet on the floor, feeling the cold floor, etc. Like, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, there are so many opportunities to be aware, to be mindful. And a little bit sad, but it took me like many years to realize that I actually could apply this mindfulness in daily life. I was like, it's only supposed to be, like, it just didn't occur to me that I could bring this into daily life. So I was only practicing it when sitting for years in the beginning of my practice. And probably teachers told me, you know, or sometimes at the end of a retreat, you have this little talk about how to integrate it in daily life. And I probably just missed it or something, but it wasn't until I actually sat with Sayadaw Utejaniya that I realized, oh wait, I can apply this like in every moment of my life. And it's so supportive because it helps the mindfulness to be more and more continuous. And it helps to see these patterns and conditionings that happen, especially in daily life. Because when we're sitting on our cushion, we only see a tiny bit of our normal range of what's happening. When we're actually out there in life, we tend to see more patterns and conditionings. Like we get angry with our coworker, or we feel like this joy when our partner comes home, or you know, all these little things that arise in daily life, but not on our cushion. And for most people in this world, you know, they basically live on autopilot. It's just life just passes by and not aware of any of it. It's kind of just this automatic thing, like being lived by causes and conditions, by conditionings and patterns. And so through this practice, we have a different choice. We can do this differently. And so I already mentioned a few little things that we can be mindful of, but it is just infinite what we can be mindful of. So right now, what is most predominant in this moment? We can wonder every moment again, like what's obvious right now? What am I aware of? Am I aware? And then we'll see what comes up. Maybe right now it's hearing my voice, or it's the thoughts that arise based on what I'm saying, or the feelings. Maybe it's the feeling of the body sitting. Could be anything. For each of us, it will be different, and different in different moments. It will change every moment. And so it's not that most likely for most of us that we will catch every moment. I think that's probably kind of impossible. But what is possible is to catch as many as we can. And as many as we can means for some, maybe one moment a day. And for others, maybe 100. So it's going to be different. And it's going to be a training. So we don't have to be good at it right away. We can see this as like as a training, as a gradual path. So we don't have to give ourselves a hard time if we're not that mindful. If during the day, we can, like, part of the path is also to be kind to ourselves and compassionate. So if we notice that we're not as mindful as we had hoped, then we can maybe bring in some kindness and compassion practice. Like, oh, it's okay. And have an intention to practice this more and more. And so we can be aware of all these different things. And sometimes it can be helpful to start with the body, because it's a bit more stable, not as fleeting as the mind. So being aware of our posture, for example, the Buddha points out, be aware of whatever posture you're in, sitting, standing, walking, laying down, or anything in between. Be aware of all these different sensations that happen in the body. The touch that, you know, we're always contacting the earth, basically, or the floor or something beneath us, because we're not in space, so usually something beneath us. So we can contact that in every moment, or whenever we think about it. The breath is there always, in every moment is that we're alive. We can contact that. So those are some easy things that we can always come back to. Like, if we remember to be mindful, we can check in with the body. Oh yeah, the body is like this right now. And it can be very stabilizing and grounding. And then when we feel up for it, we can also include the mind. So all the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings that we have during the day, the reactivity their responses, their judgments, and also the wholesome states of mind. Kindness, the compassion, ease or relaxation. Especially those wholesome state of minds, we tend to skip over those because, you know, we want to get to work or something, or where we have this negativity bias. And it can be so valuable to start to recognize that wholesomeness has arisen, that there's kindness present, that there's care for ourselves or another being. And to really take that in, take in the wholesomeness, the goodness that we all have in our hearts. And so it's not about, like I said also in the meditation, it's a right or a wrong object, a right or a wrong way to meditate. It's just whatever arises. It doesn't matter. Mindfulness doesn't care if it's pleasant or unpleasant. Mindfulness just knows. And so in this way, one of the advantages is to gain this insight into these patterns and conditionings that I was talking about, and into how much wholesomeness there might be in our lives. And this mindfulness also can create a little bit of distance. So distance between what is happening and the observing mind. And in that little bit of distance that is there, we can start to feel a choice. So for example, if I feel anger coming up because of my partner doing something that I don't like, then I feel the anger, and because I'm mindful, there's a little bit of a pause, and I can choose not to act on the anger. I can choose to pause and to say, okay, I'm gonna wait, maybe do the count to 10 thing, and then see if I can have a more skillful response than anger. So that's one huge advantage of mindfulness in our daily lives. This little bit of a pause that we can start to feel when we are mindful. And Andrea Fella, so one of my teachers, she is also a student of Sayadaw Utejaniya. She teaches that style a lot. She says, the present moment is the only place where we can act, where we can choose how to respond to what life presents to us. The past is gone, and the future does not exist. All that exists is this moment. However, how we respond in this moment is our choice. It is, in fact, the only thing we ever have a choice in. And so we can change the past, but we can have a choice in this moment. And if we're mindful of this moment, then that's where our power is, because that's when we have a choice. If we're not mindful, we're basically on autopilot. And our basic conditioning will make a choice for us. And so this opening to all of our daily lives is also an act of courage in a way. Because there's also going to be stuff that we don't like, and that's going to be difficult. So it also asks for a lot of patience and this kindness and compassion towards ourselves. Sometimes we might want to actually turn away from what is happening. That can be a skillful response if something is overwhelming. Then we might just want to be with the breath for a while, for example. Or sometimes it can be even skillful to just turn on Netflix or something like that. Not as a, like, it's often a spiritual bypass, or like we're trying to ignore what's happening or trying to push it away. But there are these moments when so much is going on that we just need a little bit of a break from ourselves. And then it can be useful to distract ourselves a little bit. But it's good to not do that too lightly, not too easily, because a lot of us have this tendency to kind of chill too much, in a sense. But I did want to mention it because it can be skillful. And what can be really supportive for our daily life practice is to sit these formal periods in our daily life. So to have a daily practice that we formally sit and spend time with the practice, like we've been doing this night, or that we visit the Sangha. That can be super supportive because it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day if we do it in the morning. But even if we do it at night, it can help us the next day. And so it's good to know that this is a trainable quality, this mindfulness in daily life. And I think that if we're not used to it, if we haven't trained ourselves yet, that it can feel like difficult, like there's not much mindfulness arising if we start having the intention to be mindful during whatever we're doing. And so it's good to know that, you know, that's normal. And that it doesn't have to happen from one day onto the other, that we can see it as a gradual training. And we're allowed to use supports like set an alarm on your phone or on your watch to remind you to be mindful. Like some people have a smartwatch and you can let it buzz maybe, or some people have like a watch that gives a little bleep every hour. So you can use that as your reminder, or a little reminder on your phone. You can also have sticky notes in your house, or in your car, in your work desk, like, oh, be mindful. And at the retreat center, IMS, the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts, where I had the privilege to assist a few times on retreat, and in the staff dining room, they have, when you exit the room, they have above the handle, like pause or something like that, like a little bit, take a pause, you know. So a little reminder, every time you walk out of that room, you're reminded of, oh yeah, take a pause, take a break, like be mindful. Sometimes it can be helpful to have a buddy. Like my partner is also a practitioner, and we've had this period where we would remind each other every time one of us would get mindful, we would say, oh, mindfulness reminder, or something like that. We would just remind ourselves, or each other, of mindfulness. Mm. It was very supportive because it just doubles your amount of mindfulness, basically. So, yeah, those are some thoughts about daily life practice, some reflections. And I want to end with a very pithy comment from Sayadaw Tejaniya. He says, "Don't hurry, just keep learning."